I wouldn't say it changed my view of law enforcement because, I mean, we're a nation of laws. Someone has to uphold those laws. It's just important to hold everyone accountable, to make sure that no one is above the law. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do. Everyone has to follow the law. Everyone needs to be held accountable. And I think that's super important, especially for people who don't get the chance to speak or are too scared to speak. Someone
And
has to hold people accountable.
Marie Miller, I want to ask you finally, the Institute for Justice recently won a Supreme Court case with a family in Atlanta whose home was wrongly raided by an FBI SWAT team. We just have 30 seconds.
That's right. The Institute for Justice, along with the clients, won that case at the Supreme Court. That was a Federal Tort Claims Act case, and that case is back down at the 11th Circuit for further proceedings. Georgia's situation is proceeding under the same act, Federal Tort Claims Act, alongside other potential avenues for relief. And our position is that when officers violate federal constitutional rights, there has to be some way to hold them accountable in court. Otherwise, our rights are simply illusory.
I want to thank you both for being with us, Marie Miller with the Institute for Justice and George Redis, a 25-year-old U.S. citizen, a U.S. Army veteran, worked as a security guard and was taken by ICE and held incommunicado for 3 days and nights. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Cable Community Radio's annual meeting and board election will be held on Saturday, September 20th at 11:30 a.m. at Mississippi Studios in North Portland. At the annual meeting, members will have the opportunity to meet candidates running in the board election. Final votes will be cast and counted. The results of the elections will be announced at the end of the meeting. Online voting is open now through the annual meeting at cable.fm/board25. Paper ballots will be sent to members by mail. Again, that's Cable's annual meeting and board election on Saturday, September 20th at 11:30 a.m. at Mississippi Studios, located at 3939 North Mississippi Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at cable.fm/board25.
Good morning. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM. I'm your host, Cecil, and thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your devotion, and thank you for everything you do to make our community stronger and more able to meet the challenges that we face. As we begin our program this morning, I wish to remind you that we are in the midst right now, believe it or not. Yes, we are here at KBOO Out Loud Fall Membership Drive, and we need you. And we are here to remind you of the importance of community media and what we need it most. So help us to reach our goal of $45,000 before September 20th and help amplify local voices. You can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Thank you all, and thank you for your support. Thank you, continuing members who continue to support us. Thank you. So go and continue your support for this community resource. Again, I am Cecil Prescott, and I am so glad that we have the opportunity to gather once more, to hear voices and to share so much. There's so much going on right now, and it is difficult sometimes for us to grasp the way in which we are able to meet the challenges that we face. I want to remind you that regardless of where we are, there are things that we are able to do and things that we are able to impact. And because there's so much happening, and as we, those of you who listened live, heard the news program and heard the, I was about to say the march to authoritarianism, but we are already here. So the question is, how do we live in this authoritarian regime? How do we make it through? And as important, how do we see, create another world, another, a different society? So many people you hear talking about, we're losing our democracy. Well, that might be an old story. But how do you define democracy? Democracy certainly includes voting every 2 years or as your community has needs to. But we all know that democracy is more than voting. Democracy includes a free press. So many major press organizations are caving to the authoritarian regime. And so if democracy is a free press and the free press refuses to offer a challenge to the regime, where do we go? Democracy, so it includes voting, it includes a free press. It includes, related to that, freedom to speak, freedom to assemble, freedom to make your voice heard. So many things are clamping down on this, and it is a challenge for all of us. This morning, I am interested in not only talking about where we are as a nation, indeed, as a world, as the authoritarianism rained down upon all of us. But as important, it's what we are doing to not only resist it, but to dismantle it. And for many, I think for all of us, there is the opportunity to learn from other movements, other peoples, other ways in which people are challenging power that is drunk with its own power. I was reminded recently that it is important for people to acknowledge and to celebrate freedom fighters. And so this morning, this day, I would like to you to share in talking about how people are struggling and how people might beyond that. Some of you might be familiar with an annual, I was going to say event, but an annual commemoration in August that is called Black August. It has served as a time to honor Black freedom fighters, deepen our political education, and recommit ourselves to the struggles for liberation. Black August began in California prisons in the late 70s, where incarcerated Black people organized to commemorate the death of George and Jonathan Jackson. go to your favorite search engine, and if you do not know George and Jonathan Jackson, look them up. George was a young person, and in 1960 was in prison for allegedly stealing $70. Then in 1970, George and two other imprisoned prisoners were accused and charged with the murder of a white prison guard. Later that year, George's brother, 17-year-old brother, Jonathan, was shot and killed while trying to free his brother. A year later, on August 21st, 1971, George Jackson was killed while during an attempted prison escape. During his time of incarceration, George Jackson became well-known for his fighting against racism in the prison system. And he was the author of The Soledad Brother, a collection of letters that he wrote from behind prison walls. He was someone who influenced many people and many generations. And Black August not only talks about what happened in that California prison in the 1970s, but also remind all of us who we are and what we are called to be. So, Black August might be a time to not only honor freedom fighters, especially those inside the walls of the prison industrial complex, but those who have a vision, a tenacity, a deep love for community, who are continuing to struggle. August is a significant time for Black people generally, and we can begin the list. In late August 1619, the first group of enslaved Africans were brought to Virginia. August 1619. But also in August 1791, in Haiti, the Haitian Revolution began, struggle for liberation. August remains a signs of struggle and against terrorism, because in 1833 the Slavery Abolition Act became law and led to the abolition of slavery in 1834 in many of the countries and islands controlled by England at that time. August so it continues to be a moment of struggle and liberation. So, for example, the Nat Turner Rebellion began in August. The Watts Riots of 1965 was in August. But it's also time to celebrate. We celebrate the birth of Bayard Rustin, who was born in 1912. Bayard Rustin, the freedom fighter, the nonviolent freedom fighters from the 1940s, when he resisted being drafted, through the 50s, when he was enlisted to become an influential thinker and strategist for the civil rights movement, through the 60s, when he organized the March on Washington, in August 1963, through the 70s, when he lifted up his voice for queer liberation. August is also a month of celebration for the birth of Marshall P. Johnson, who was one of the persons who was there at the beginning of the Stonewall Rebellion in New York City in 1969 by throwing a brick when the police raided a safe space for queer people. August 28, 1955, Emmett Till was killed. August was also the killing of Mike Brown and the Ferguson Uprising in 2014. There is so much more. But let us remember that we are all called to be freedom strugglers, freedom fighters. What are some of the movements and individuals who influence you? And what is it? How do you keep your head lifted up in times of trouble? Let's hear what some of you have to say. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. I'm Cecil. Let's hear from our callers. And good morning, Santiago.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm living, struggling.
I gotcha.
Okay.
I feel you, man. I think it's really interesting. You know, when we talk about democracy, you know, a lot of what the propaganda has given us is the definition of liberal democracy, which liberal democracy has only ever meant like democracy for those who can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's really important to remember is that like the greatest revolutionaries that we have had. You know, we talk about George Jackson, you talk about Huey P. Newton, you talk about Malcolm X, you talk about Fred Hampton, Yuri Kochiyama. I mean, you talk about all these great freedom fighters that we had. And number one, what most of them have in common is that, I mean, especially when it comes to Black Panthers, they were Marxist-Leninists, which means that they were clearly defining who the enemies were and were not willing to... And we're not willing to compromise in cooperation with those who meant to rule. And so the best way to describe democracy is basically just like, you know, where it's you're giving, you know, it's like the democracy by those who labor, you know, rule
yes.
by those who labor. You know, because right now, you know, people will say, oh, you know, well. You know, they'll do the whataboutism about, like, you know, socialism and stuff, and they'll be like, well, what if it just goes in the opposite direction? And it's like, well, okay, so the rule of the rich versus the rule of the workers?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like workers already rule the roost in terms of, like, how our labor is king. The people who have money only have money because they exploit our labor. Once they're no longer able to exploit our labor, they no longer have money.
Right.
And I see, and so when I think about the people who inspire me, I think about the people who called out the enemies. They're not talking about the people, oh, we need to work with these politicians. We need to work with these police. We need to work with all of these forces that mean to rain down on us. No, you're talking about people who actually call them out as the enemies they are. Malcolm X called, back then they called them white moderates. Now you call them liberals, you know, white liberals. He called out white liberals as foxes, you know, saying that, you know, they look friendly and they can form their teeth into the shape of a grin in a way that makes you kind of bring your guard down, but they're still a predator. You know, he talked about the police, you know, talk about police occupying Black and brown communities, or, you know, in the case of, Marsha P. Johnson, queer and trans communities. You know, they serve as an occupying force. The politicians only come in when they want our votes.
All right.
You know, I mean, you know what I mean?
I do. And I appreciate how you pointing out, you know, people who call out the enemy and name them for who they are. And you mentioned, you know, Huey and Malcolm, you know, criticizing white moderates or white liberals. But also people such as Martin Luther King in his letter from Birmingham jail, where he critiqued and criticized white moderate clergy folks for, you know, towing the line. And, you know, MLK, you know, became, you know, affirmed that he was a socialist. But also, as I appreciate you noting the need to critique and to call out those things.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's really, you know, bringing up Martin Luther King is really important, too, because he's been, you know, as Cornel West would say, he's been Santa Clausified.
Yes,
you know, he's indeed. he's like the civil rights of Jesus. And when he died, not, you know, they never say assassinated. It's like when he died, you know, it's like he basically died for America's racist sins. And now we've had a black president, so we're no longer racist.
Yeah.
You know, Martin Luther King even talked about how, like, you know, after his I Have a Dream speech, it was sometime later, he said, you know, I feel like it's become a nightmare. And he says, I feel that I have integrated my people into a burning building.
Yes.
Because, you know, Malcolm X finally started to get through to him, because Malcolm X was calling out the civil rights movement for the sham that it was at the time. He's like, how are we gonna swing our feet with our oppressors and say that we're trying to fight oppression? You know, and, you know, you're not asking anything more of them other than to simply just walk with you, where they could still go back into their communities and still continue to you know, even if it's benign, promote the same type of things, you know, that still end up perpetuating the systems that keep us down.
Let me ask you, since you contrasted, you know, those who go along to get along or get along to go along, and those who critique. Are there times where you need to cooperate, and is it always are those the people or is your enemies, or can you work with them at some time on some issues?
I think there are, the thing is that it has to be, the decision cannot be made on an individual basis. And this is mm-hmm. where, you know, if we're talking democracy, this is where we have to talk about political parties and not the political parties that we have that promote promote electoralism. I'm talking about, like, the Black Panthers were a party. La Raza Unida is a party.
Right.
I'm talking about where people make decisions along a specific guided line that says this is what we're not willing to do and this is what we're willing to do. Because I think it's possible, but the problem is that liberalism tells us that, oh, you don't need to go with the group, you can be an individual. And so that's how you get in trouble with just trying to do things on an individual basis. I think
right.
there is room to work within the system, but unless the people that want to work with us are not willing to clearly delineate who the enemy is in our particular struggles, then that is not a person or an organization who can be trusted.
And I think go ahead. I'll let you finish. I wanted to ask you a question. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just like, if we don't have a clear delineation of who the enemy is,
mm-hmm.
if the people who want to work with us don't understand who our enemies are, or understand but simply don't see it as important, then, you know, as hard as it would be to say no, you got to say no.
Okay.
Because they could be leading you into a burning building.
Right. And there's another caller that we need to go to, but I want to say I appreciate what you said in the importance of movement building. And I would, you know, maybe not you, but others who would, you know, look at the movement of the 50s and 60s, the civil rights movement, and say that first it was a movement, that it came from the ground up. It was powered by individuals, by community. It wasn't top down, and that it was very
yeah.
strategic in terms of
yeah.
who they were. So, you know, again, we need to move beyond the I like how you said it, the sanitized, Santa Clausified version, and do
mm-hmm.
some real reading and understanding of movement buildings, and it takes work, it takes dedication, it takes communities working together. Hey, thank you so much, Santiago. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes, hello.
Your last word.
Yeah, last word.
Oh, no, what I was going to say is, and I think it's important to remember, too, that, the I Have a Dream speech and the March on Washington was what they settled for. Because originally when they meant to do that, they meant to tie up airports, they meant to tie up everything and make it so Washington, D.C. would not function. But the president got involved and a bunch of his advisors got involved, and they basically made it so that it was what we saw, what we consider this great historic moment, that it was supposed to be bigger and much more intrusive, but they couldn't handle that.
Okay.
So even the history that we understand as these great moments are not really what they were meant to be. They're settling for something that we should have, that was not what was meant to be in the first place, is what I wanted to say.
Hey,
we're talking about Santa Clausification.
Hey, thank you so much. And thank you for your words and a reminder that the 1963 March on Washington was deliberately set for August 28th, the anniversary of the lynching of Emmett Till, and that the name of that was a March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. You're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station. I'm Cecil, and let's hear from our next caller. Sherry, good morning. Thank you for waiting.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I want to just say that leader that inspires me, the person that inspires me, and all really of tough times in my life is Harriet Tubman. And she did amazing things and just did what she felt called to do, despite everything against her, being a woman, being a slave, being uneducated, couldn't read, and following her guidance. To do what's right. And she had a disability also. I struggle myself with a disability.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had seizures, and she just did what she was called to do. It just didn't talk herself out of what might make it impossible.
Mm.
And then did it repeatedly and just, did it even then later at a very, I mean, when she caught in the devil, even a different level, just than
right.
just not just. But I mean, it's amazing. So when I get disheartened, I think nothing stopped this woman. You know,
mm-hmm.
I can take lot of strength and encouragement, inspiration from that.
Wow. Let me ask you, because you said that. And this is something I think we all need to think on. You said that she did not talk herself out of doing something which people said she could not do. And that's...
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. I mean, she is so... I mean, to look at what she was up against...
Yes.
I mean, literally every card was stacked against her.
Yes.
I mean, she had everything
right.
from, racism, sexism, poverty to physical disability. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. everything. And she just did it anyway.
Wow.
And I think that's where I just do what you know is right. And what you follow that is amazing. So, yeah, so she can do it. I can too.
Hey, thank you. That's you're very inspiring this morning. Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm glad that she is always my inspiration. She's my so wonderful. I hope other people can. I love the conversation that you're having. We need inspiration, so absolutely.
Great. Well, thank you so much for calling and sharing this morning, and continue the struggle. And that was a caller who reminded us of a person who inspired her, Harriet Tubman. And Sherry said that Harriet Tubman did not talk herself out of doing what people said she could not do. And that is, I think, so important. It's something that many of us experienced, you know, that thought, that voice in your head that saying, no, don't do that. You cannot do that. That you are not strong enough or intelligent enough or wise enough or to do that. So don't. But Sherry reminded us that Harriet Tubman, in spite of the challenges that she faced, being a woman, being someone who was formerly enslaved, being unable to read, living with a physical disability, being a woman in a male-dominated society, she did not talk herself out of doing what she should do. And we ought to remember that and admire that. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and our numbers are 503-231-8187. In this August, Black August, I'm asking, who are figures or movements who inspire you, and why are they so important? Our last caller, Sherry, mentioned Harriet Tubman. And before that, Santiago, talked about movements and individuals such as George Jackson. Let's hear from our next caller. Bill, good morning.
Good morning. I want to... Santiago, I believe, said something about Martin Luther King being Santa Clausified, or I don't know, remember how he put it, but I want to speak to something that's interesting to me as a person of color.
Mm-hmm.
The heroes who are assigned to us are often assigned to us only in death. Never are they celebrated in life by the people who oppressed us. And right. It bothers me that we end where their life ends. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Huey Newton, like so all of these prominent Black leaders, we're celebrating dead people, in essence. We're not celebrating people whose movements are continuing to grow and thrive. And it's almost like the powers that be assign us dead superheroes.
Yes.
And I don't know how we get out of this cycle, because not even the FBI celebrated Martin Luther King while he was living, and he was peaceful, right? So it's this fascinating dynamic that I'm trying to get over. And every single time we have a prominent individual, there is this fear of a Black Messiah or someone who has the power to mobilize Black people or people in general towards a common goal. But I am sick of being assigned dead superheroes. I just wanted to know what you think about that.
I appreciate what you said, and I'm going to hold on to that, Black superheroes. And I think you're so right on in terms of just, you know, go down the list. They were certainly not celebrated or appreciated by the powers that be when they lived. So you gave the example of Martin Luther King and the FBI. Right. But it goes on, you know, those are individuals and movements, you know, the nonviolent civil rights movement was looked down and criticized as communist inspired while it was, you know, at that time. We look back now and say, oh, yes, we shall overcome and hold hands together. So, yeah, let's move beyond Black superheroes. And to go a point that an earlier caller made, it's not just these individuals who are dead. You know, these are movements of communities. And I think we need to do that. So how do we acknowledge people while they are alive? And who are they? And how do we lift up those voices when they are being denounced by those in power?
I just think that the significance is making sure that there is no one defined leader and that everyone has the ability to move beyond. Because I was fascinated to find out that Martin Luther King was inspired by, say, Mohandas Gandhi. So, at what point did the movement really die, or is this just really an extension of other movements? If you want to understand some of Martin Luther King's values, look at Gandhi. And so I think that, and then I think we're talking across really a racial divide then, because when we talk about the tensions amongst other races, I still think that inspiration can come from many different people. So if you want to talk about Thoreau and his attitude towards certain things, I think that it can come out of many different areas. And I think sometimes we can become so focused on a single individual that we're not asking who inspired them. And I think that we'll find that the movements didn't die. We're looking for that one person to lead us when it's all there. I think that there's a disconnect, and that often a racial divide is what we allow to get in the way of bigger ideas sometimes. So I think that no matter your movement, I think that we have to get beyond sex. I think we have to get beyond race, and we have to get to a point where we're saying there are other inspirations besides, if you're a person of color, maybe you need to find out who inspired the people of color that you look up to. So I don't know. I think it's just an education process and empowerment. And I think we've been stripped of that as people as a whole, as white or other.
Hey, thank you so much, because I think the point you made in terms of, you know, it's not an individual. You know, it's movement building, and I appreciate your thoughts and reminding us of who we are and who we are called to be. Thank you so much. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. And before we go to our next caller, Janet, I want to remind all of you that we are in the midst right now of KBOO Out Loud fall membership drive, and you are invited to become a participant, as our last caller suggested, a part of a community who create things together. So you can donate by going to kboo.fm/give, clicking on the red box donate in the mobile app, text KBOO to 44321, or you can mail to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Thank you all for making sure that this institutions continue to thrive in the years ahead. Let's go to Janet, who has some thoughts to share. Good morning.
Good morning. My great-grandson named Micaiah after the one who spoke out against the false prophets. Kind of reminds me of my mother used to say, it's Yiddish, which means I live to see it, I'll see the Messiah. But the funny song by Dan Byrne is I Am the Messiah, which would be meaning that we might be tethered to some great ideas, some ideal kind of things, but we can be so disappointed just to be tethered by, like, Obama, and then saying, okay, you know, you're going to take care of everything, or some of the different inspiring folks that we've had, that the important thing is to let young people really step up to the plate and think for themselves, and not buy into the party line, which is, it's often kind of like, you know, we think we voted for someone, and then they're all selling out, and so I think the important thing is to call ourselves on the importance of stepping up to the plate and not buying into the propaganda. Is the propaganda machine, it's pretty huge, because it's just pretty hard to cut through it all.
Let me ask you, so how do we cut through it all? How are we able to step up, because of that propaganda machine? It seems overwhelming.
I know. Well, seriously, I just have to pray for discernment because in each moment, we're just ordinary people.
Yes.
And so in my practice, that to be compassionate, you can't really, as a human being, compassionate and wise. So we have to have courage and faith. To hope that we can have the courage to recognize when we really need to do something, not just be cerebral about something,
right.
Not just theoretical about something, but actually do something in the right moment. It's incredibly huge to just recognize what to say at the right moment to make someone feel like they believe in themselves, that we believe in ourselves, and how self-respect translates to respect for others. And so if we don't have that ability or that courage to really to say something, to call in and not just reflect but to do something, then otherwise we're on sinking ship. It's bad. We might just lose our chance.
Yeah, well, that reminds me when you just said, you know, the courage to call in, and it seems to be, to me, there is a boldness of I don't want to say evil, of the lack of compassion. You know, turn on the news, walk down your neighborhoods, and you see the meanness, the way in which people are being snatched up out of community, the lack of compassion, or you know, empathy is a dirty word for all these people. So how do people of caring and compassion, how do we, or is there a way to reach this powerful machine which lack passion, you know, this fascist regime?
Well, I really think that something really radical is going on. In my family, I would be looking at how fortunate my great-grandson is, and he's starting to get a little peek at what's out there,
mm-hmm.
that we can raise our kids to realize that there's a whole... the only hope that I have is that we keep talking about Palestine and that it carries on, because there's some pretty heavy stuff going down. It's got to go down, and mm-hmm. it's got to be just like... toppled, and we have to recognize it and participate in bringing the system down and then starting fresh.
Okay. Well,
thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the wise words you shared this morning and reminding us to...
Well, there's something I just wanted to add. You know, I was mm-hmm. in a middle school one day, And these young men, young jocks who are teaching in the school, they were around a dictionary because they saw something is called autochthonous. And it's a word that really comes from the Greek place, like in the skies, the chariot, when the whole humanity is going down and the gods are sprinkling seeds to start up and fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was taken and used as a label for people that are persevering and some thought is recurring in their minds. But I really think it's important that we don't, like, we see the side effects of a system, an economic system that's gone to rot, and what's wrong with it. And then to just really not be propagandized, thinking like, oh, socialism to help people feed their kids, or it's communism to blah, 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 and then to use a word and not recognize what's really happening is it's just like not working. It's dysfunctional. The whole situation is so dysfunctional. We got to reflect and renew it.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Have a pleasant day. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO. Our number's here, 503-231-8187. I'm Cecil. I'm your host today. And we're speaking about the world we're living in. But particularly, I'm asking, who are movements or individual who continue to inspire you today? Let's go to our next caller. She the Spirit is with us. Good morning.
Good morning, and Aluta continua. The struggle continues, and I want to say thank you. Now you're talking. We need to discuss this, and we need to always include the women who have been involved in this struggle. Mm-hmm. And to answer your question about democracy, I would suggest the audience to listen to every song that Bob Marley has put out. He describes democracy as the Babylon system. And if you listen to Bob, you will hear the description of democracy. Mm-hmm. Democracy is a democracy of the enslaved, and Bob Marley says that it's a vampire system that mm-hmm. sucks the blood of the sufferer. But also, the lady earlier, Cecil, made a comment about Harriet Tubman, which I admire her also, and I just wanted to shout out the title of Harriet Tubman's book, mm-hmm. which I read about 20 years ago. It's called Life for Me Ain't Been No Crystal Stairs. And it's an excellent book in her own words. The other thing, you were talking about George and Jonathan and the Soledad brothers. I mm-hmm. have that book, too. Okay. I read about it a quarter of a century ago.
Yes.
But, you know, Angela Davis yes. was in love with George Jackson.
George, right.
And you know that, in fact, I put her as number one in terms of mentor and a heroine, you know, mm-hmm. and I admire her courage. You know, she stayed 2 years in solitary confinement, mm-hmm. and the FBI looked for her after a gun was used when there was
Johnson,
a trial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so the FBI put her on her face in every post office.
Yes.
Even though she didn't commit any crime, the gun that was used was actually registered to her, it was used by one of the men
right.
that did the shooting. But the movie is called Free Angela. It's put out by Independent Lens, and people can get it for free now on YouTube.
Okay.
So Independent Lens went around the world, and we did not know that there were people around the entire planet celebrating the freedom for Angela Davis, right?
Yes.
And this movie will show you all of the different nationalities. There were people even celebrating Angela's freedom in foreign languages. But you have to see this to believe it, because the media here in America did not want us to know that the Black Panthers and the freedom movement was known by people all around the world.
Yes.
And in saying that about Angela Davis's struggle for freedom, she's a friend of mine now. I met her about maybe 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I would sell books at her speaking engagements.
Yes.
And I've participated in protests in Chino, California, where they were going to build another prison for women. And we all got together, protested, and marched, and so they did not build that prison, because Angela was telling people that we have enough prisons already. And, you know, Angela's been engaged in the prison abolition movement. In fact, I believe she was one of the early starters of that movement about 35 years ago.
yeah. You know, I thank you for mentioning women, and particularly Angela, during this discussion. And I think it's so important to acknowledge, and a previous caller, I think it was a previous caller who said, you know, we celebrate people, you know, movements after they're gone. Let's celebrate, you know, Angela Davis is someone who's been there for decades, and she remains committed. She did not sell out. She, you know, went to prison. She continued to help hold her head up high. And as you mentioned, she is influential, has been influential in the prison abolition movement and other struggles throughout the decades. So thank you for
raising your voice. And she still is.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I just want to add that she still is. And, you know, Ronald Reagan once declared that she would never teach again in California. I don't know if you remember this.
Oh, yeah.
But not only did she continue teaching, but she became president of the black unions, the black organizations, and all the colleges for the entire state of California.
Yeah.
So all she had was courage and bravery and wisdom, and she always told us to keep reading, keep studying, and keep learning. And, you know, she also learned from, I heard one of your callers earlier mention learning from interracial sources, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is absolutely good advice. Mm-hmm. And the library still is one of the best sources for books to find truth. Truth is a divinity. And this is the reason why so many people in our media try to hide it from us. Because when they say the truth will set you free, it's because truth itself is a spiritual divinity. And Angela also spoke out about the, I hate to use the word sexism because it's deeper than that. It's deeper than misogyny.
Yeah.
Angela has words for that. And if you listen to her CDs, she has a lot of books and a lot of CDs. I have all her books. Women, especially in the African-American community, we have been so consumed with trying to set our entire race free from the oppression of the Babylon system that we sometimes forget that we need to set the women within the movement free also. And the Black Panthers, as a lot of people don't know, the brains behind the Black Panthers were the women.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, some of the men were, too, Huey Newton, to name one, but Assata Shakur.
Yes.
You know, she's still in exile in Cuba.
Exile, right. Yes, yes.
Yeah, but, you know, she was like one of the, her book is one I recommend for everyone. I read it twice about a quarter of a century ago, and it's a monumental work for the Black Panthers and for Black freedom movements.
Mm-hmm.
And Assata Shakur, the governor of New Jersey, Christine Todd Whitman, put out a bounty for anyone who would go to Cuba and capture Assata. Now, when I was in Southern California, Assata being one of the women I admired, I would always often speak up about us protecting her. And speaking out against Governor Todd Whitman, invoking the Fugitive Slave Act. I mean, can you get to that? She wanted us, even though Assata was not the shooter, the policeman shot Assata, and the doctor testified that Assata was shot with both arms up in the air. She was surrendering. Mm-hmm. And it was her driver that they were after, but she held her hands up and the police shot her, and then they shackled her and chained her in the hospital bed, and the police put cigarette butts out in on her legs. But the men in prison, after they put her in prison, the men in prison helped her escape and sent her to Cuba. But she wrote so much of the mandates for the Black Panthers.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know this. She was just like Angela Davis. Those two women and Alice Walker, they're my top three. But I want people to remember that Black women was often in the shadows and not getting the recognition that the men were getting. And that has to change, and that will change. And since Angela Davis is still alive, I'm so glad you brought up this topic, because she's not chased like she was back then, but I don't want us to forget what she has done. And on that note, I want to close by saying Ida B. Wells was also a woman who spoke up about the lynching, especially of Black men, although they also lynch women and children. And I want to recommend another book that people will not believe that they lynched our children until they see it. In the book that was edited by Congressman John Lewis, mm-hmm. and the book is called Without Sanctuary. Mm-hmm. It's a pictorial of lynchings in America. And they were actually lynching our children in bunches like bananas on one rope on trees. And you have to have a stomach for it. Mm-hmm. I bought this book about a quarter of a century ago, and I could not believe what I was seeing. Uh-huh. And a lot of times, Miss Ann would have one of our little boys that was playing with her daughter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
She would have the little boy lynched. And in the cover, now the thing that's amazing is that the cover of the book shows a little boy lynched on a tree. And underneath that tree, I don't know if you've seen this, but there's about a dozen Caucasian men staring right into the camera as if they're proud that all 12 of them lynched this little black boy. Looked like he's about 8 years old. I was astounded at the barbarity of what they did and what I saw when I bought that book. And if anyone likes to buy that book, I'll be glad to pay for it for them because they need to know what happened. So Ida B. Wells, back to the Ida B. Wells, I read 4 books about her, including her book called Crusader for Justice.
Yes.
Ida B. Wells told us that we should never stop speaking up because so many of our black people were lynched in the South, especially, and they hid it because they threatened the black people in the town that if they spoke up, they would be lynched next.
Right.
So there is an undercount of the total number of lynchings in the South because they were intimidated by their neighbors. And, you know, the other thing, too, you might know about the case of Jesse, a black man who was considered, they called him mentally retarded back in these days in Waco, Texas. Burning at the stake also occurred when they were lynching some of our people.
Right.
Yes. I have to put down the books when I'm reading this stuff because I can't believe that all this happened in America. Well, but there was when Jesse was being lynched.
And we have like two minutes so before the end of the program. Go ahead.
They can look this up then to get the rest of the story. A woman cried out to unsex him. And so then they would castrate these men right before they would burn the fire or tighten the rope for them to be lynched. So thank you for this subject, Mrs. Cecil. I really appreciate it. And I hope people start going to the library. They can get all these books there.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, She the Spirit, for raising your voice and for lifting up black women. Thank you. And yeah, you are listening to More Talk Radio and your community radio program. We've been speaking this morning generally about Black August, which is this month where we acknowledge and celebrate Freedom Fighters. And as our callers have shared, there are so many people who continue to do the good work that we need to open up our eyes. And as our last caller, She the Spirit, reminded us, lifting up the voices, to following up on some other callers, lifting up the voices of women, and particularly lifted up Angela Davis, and who continues to be an inspiration and activist and continues to do good work in many, many ways. So thank you, Angela Davis, for your dedication, your lifelong passion, giving up. You know, you could have had an easy life, you know, middle-class child from Birmingham. You could have had a nice professional life, but you chose to be a part of the movement for freedom and liberation. So she and people like Ida B. Wells, who research and documented lynching, are examples of people who are able to do good work. And so all of our callers this morning. I thank you so much for sharing. Thank you so much for your inspiration and for lifting up the voices and the movement all around us. We are living in times that are dangerous, that are times in which we are not sure where we're going. But all of us together can continue to do good work together, and we can continue to make a difference. Our time for today is ending, but I want to thank you all for being a part. Remember to help KBOO reach our 45,000 KBOO Out Loud Fall Membership Drive goal by showing your support today at kboo.fm/give or by texting KBOO at 44321. Every donation is appreciated. I'm Cecil. You've been listening to More Talk Radio, and I will see you, speak with you next time.
This is KBOO Portland, volunteer-powered community radio.
Cable Community Radio's annual meeting and board election will be held on Saturday, September 20th at 11:30 a.m.